Blog Talk Radio.
Satan Rajin, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Ashadu Ilah Ilah Illallah, Ashadu Ilah Ilah Muhammad Rasulullah. We only bear witness and we testify that no God but one God, proper name is Allah, He lives, he never dies. He is the creator of this creation. This creation is where we live, that he created to test us on. So we thank Almighty God, Allah, for allowing us to once again come on this talk radio station. We're sorry about the difficulty, but they have technical problems. It wouldn't switch on or eat a computer. And finally, it looked like he changed his mind. So we are on, and we thank Allah for blessing us to have the patience and not to give up spirit to try to keep this show on and rolling. And every time it looks like we have a break in action, I have a day off, the little problems occur. But that's okay. We're going to get through this with the help of Allah. We open the bad witness that nothing serves to be worshipped besides Allah. And we open the bad witness that Prophet Muhammad, he was announced that we would be him by Christ Jesus. And he will lead us in all truth. And that's exactly what Prophet Muhammad have done, led us to all the best truth in the world. That if we use it, everybody use it true, we could cure this sick and this sick world of racism that we have, and the racism that not just for one race, it's all races, but look like our race, we call race, or people that look like us trying to erase us. So we have to come to common terms and change this. We know the truth will set you free, and a lie will keep us in slavery. So we have to use the truth to get ourselves out of this situation with the help of Almighty God. This is the Bop Talk radio station coming out of California under the guidance of Amin Muhammad, who is sponsoring this by Sister Claire Muhammad Sims School. We thank Allah for the opportunity again to come before you. I am Brother Abdullah Akbar from Decatur, Georgia, and my wife, Daya Akbar. We are co-host workers along with Brother Sujah Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and his wife, Quran. And we also have Brother Muhammad, A. Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. And we also have Brother Ibrahim Abdullah, who is the Imam of LaGrange, Georgia, who reside and live in Atlanta. So we like to open our talk up with a prayer called Al-Fatah. It means open. And then we will get started on our Block Talk radio station, removing the images and why we should move them and why we don't move, what problem they're going to cause. So first we say it in the Arabic language, and then with the help of Allah, we transfer it in the English translation. Humadei Shaitan Rajeem, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Rahman Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim, Sirata Ladina Anta Waliyyum, Glory may do be alayhim while it only I mean. We seek protection from Allah, from Satan, the rejected enemy, the outcast. With the name of God, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, Allah is the master of the day of judgment in which we all live. Thee alone do we forth to worship. And thy aid we supposed to seek. O Allah, please continue always showing us this great way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed your favor, and not of those who rapper brought down, and not of those who go astray. Amen. We greet you again in the greatest greeting and the best of the greeting of all the greeting in the world, and no other greeting matches greeting. And this greeting is Assalamu Alaikum. It simply means, may God peace be unto you. Well, we are here again tonight on this Talk Radio station to help and try to move these images out of the world that caused the human family not to respect each other, not to work with each other. If that's something that would cause the African-American not to work with each other, the root of that is the image. If we are seeing God incorrectly, meaning we're seeing God in a Caucasian image, that's the majority of our people, then there won't be no come together and no peaceful meeting of the mind. Because if you think God came in a one person's image, you're going to try to look like that image, you're going to try to act like that image, and you're going to try to do like that image. That image show hatred toward people of darker skin. And what that have done have caused the people of the dark skin have the same attitude, even worse, toward people look like, because they want to be like that image. They want hair like that image. They want eyes. They want the power of that image. They want to say, well, I'm a Caucasian. I hear African-American women saying all the time that I'm a white person. At least they got sense enough to know they're not black, but they say, I'm a white person, and I'm white. They say, I heard them say that. And what they're doing, they're trying to escape what has happened to them. They're trying to understand that what happened to them did not happen. So they're trying to escape what happened to us. And so that's what they said, that we are white people. God said that we are one and alone. And we are the creation of God, and we are all of the offspring of Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman. We are not the children of God. We are the creation of this creation that God created us to be human beings. And once we become human beings, then you can't have racism. You can't have the problem, because God done set the stage on. Don't set the standard on what a human being supposed to be about. He shouldn't, when told a human being what he shouldn't eat, what he shouldn't do, what he shouldn't take, what he shouldn't miss and become. You know, he shouldn't become a homosexual. He shouldn't eat hog. He shouldn't steal. He shouldn't cheat on his wife, and the wife shouldn't treat on him. So God spelled all that out in Scripture. But he don't force no one to do nothing they don't want to do. We have opportunity to obey God, or we can obey the one that lead us away from God, and that's Satan himself. And Satan is a man and a woman who don't took on weak ideas and wrong thinking. I don't think you can describe Satan any better than that. He's a man and woman who don't took weak ideas and wrong thinking and tell lies. That's Satan. That is Satan. So we got to get rid of this fellow. We got to get rid of his influence. We got to get rid of his quality that he'll set, standard that he'll set for the human family. We see that many of our Muslim children have joined gangs, and they're getting shot. They're getting killed. Why? Because the parents done got weak. The parents done started letting the child tell him what to do. And this, when you see this, this is exactly what happened. They get in a gang, they get locked up. The parents got to go get them out of jail. They get shot, they get killed. And the parents cry just like the Jew or the Christian. But they put themselves in that position. They don't hold their feet firmly to the ground to raise that child in the way it should go. They let that child be their friend. They let that child become a bargain with the parents. If you do this, I'll give you this. You take the trash, I'll give you a pair of Nike tennis shoes. When you let your child manipulate you like that, he going to take that way into the world, and that way in the world going to get him in serious trouble, because God have created all of us to do right, and there ain't one way, and the best way is to do right. And once the child realize that it's supposed to obey his mama and father and it's a gather, Father, then that child is on the way to pleasing God. It'll come back and start living the life that God wanted to live. So we're here tonight, and I know I got another call, but we're late, so I'm going to bring my other co-worker up, Brother Sujah Muhammad. Brother Sujah Muhammad, are you ready? Then turn on your mic, are you ready? Is match one come into your queue? If anybody wants to say anything, then match one and come into your queue. You can begin to talk. So I hope your queue is making. You match one and come into the queue. Then we will begin to talk. So anybody wants to say anything, now is the time. Match one and come into the queue. And once you match one and come into the queue, we will see you at match one, and we will turn your mic on, and you can begin to talk. So that's match one and come into the queue. We had a little technical problem, and it caused us to be kind of late, but this is what we expect when you to bring the truth to the world, and you stand up and start telling the truth, then you see exactly what happened, how the world gonna respond to your truth. So we want to respond. We want to let them know that the world know that we ain't going nowhere. We had one of the better leaders in our time, and that's Imam Warshadeen Muhammad. So I see Brother Ibrahim Abdullah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah.
Yes, sir. If you calling and trying to get them chicken wings back, you can get it. You ready to speak? You ready to share with the world some of the things that you seen happen today, that you run across through on the news, or what you observe of the world, and what it can cure this sick world? Can you give us the medicine? Tell us about the medicine that will cure this sick world that we have been placed in, and that we can help it get better. Can you give us some information that what you think how we can do this? And I'm turning it over to you at the same time. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. All praise be to Allah, the God that evolver, the sustainer and keeper of all the worlds. Peace be upon his prophet, Muhammad, whom the last revelation came through. So we don't look for any prophets anymore. You have to look to the next human being, because the human being that accepted the message back then is the ones who are held accountable for the message today. In saying that, I want to go back and just mention a few people. You know, we had a lot of leaders in this country that come about, and usually when a leader come on that's inspired by God, then that leader's work will continue. It will continue in the people. You don't hear any more black nationalism like Marcus Garvey. You know, a lot of those people back during slavery time and his time had come along up to Elijah Muhammad. You don't hear those people. You don't hear anything about the organization anymore. If you do hear anything about them, it's real minute. It's real quiet. So my purpose in saying that is that when you hear people talking about what God has said, meaning talking to you from revelation, not from their own self, not from their buddies, not what society had predicted. No, none of that. You hear them talking from scripture that God has sent down, and all scripture is sacred. But you don't hear anything about these leaders anymore, because the leader lives in you. We are telling that Islam, Allah serve it, they don't die. Allah say not that my servant is dead. say they are living, they fine. But you perceive it not. Things that Allah say to us to pick our conscience, to let us know those leaders are still alive in you, and they are working in you. So a lot of these old traditions we had, these old people way back, we have to let that go, and we have to continue to strive as human beings that God has created for a particular job. Now, if we're doing our job, that means that the people will evolve around truth. The people will come from miles and miles around to hear the word of God when it's applied correctly to the people. Now, I like to just quote something that I was researching on and reading in my book, and in reflection by Imam Wardi Muhammad. We had talked about it, but inshallah, this gives us a more in-depth how to explain it and how to draw the people, mainly our children, into religion today. So let me just quote what he said. He said, the house of worship. People don't want to go to the house of worship anymore. He said the house of worship was the church, the Christians. He said the masjids. Huh? He said the synagogues. He also say the Buddha, or Buddhism. People are not gravitating towards those institutions anymore. Why? He said because the world had moved on so far out of the reach of the people that we're lost. We're so far behind the world in its movement. Now, we got children that's in technology. They can take that technology and keep us abreast how the world is moving, and we move with the world, but we move in a righteous sense with the world. We don't move into the corruption of the world because we're the light of the world. So we move in what's right in the world, and those people who are following us or those who are with us, they will see through that light that we're moving in the right direction. So why are we lost? If our leader mentioned all these institutions, he didn't leave out the boss. He didn't leave that out. He mentioned that. And then he explained it, that we're so lost because the world has moved on. We're a part of the world. We're a part of the world that we create. And each one of us is a world within itself. But we must take our world, which is our mind, and keep it moving in accord with God's will. So we don't fell out of the touch of God's will. What happened? Let me go to our leader. What happened when you fall out of the touch of God's will? Listen, this is really important because this is some of the things we've been talking about, trying to get the people to come forward. He said the Quran, I got 2 points. The Quran will not sit down for the disbelievers and those who call the material world. He said the Quran was sent down to the people who had a heart to want to know who their Lord was and want to be morally upright, want to do the right things by God. That's who the Quran was sent to. He said he used to come out over and over, battle and battle with the people, and see that we weren't going nowhere. Every time he turned around, he giving the same message, but there's no movement. And he got home and looking through the Quran, and Allah showed him something. What Allah showed him, but I just got to saying about the Quran, who the Quran was sent down to, he said the burden was lifted off his shoulders. Then he went to teaching it the way Allah wanted him to teach it, to get the people, because only Allah can bring the people, only Allah can bring the people guidance. So if your light is dull, the people can't see you. That's one. So if we are so lost, our light is a 15-watt bulb when it's supposed to be 500-watt, how do you expect the people to come out of darkness and your light is dim? Meaning they have no guidance. If you were sent here and given a mission to guide the people, what you guide them to? You guide them to Quran. You guide them to Scripture. If they're so lost, And we just deal with the Muslim right now, and we'll deal with the rest of them later. If we're so lost in our masjids, yet our children go to school and college, university, and got all this technical knowledge, how come they don't come back and help us advance in the world and move us along with the world when we can continue to guide the world? We just don't want to be in the world and don't have a part in his resurrection. We want to be in the world to guide the world to his resurrection, so the people will have a light to look at. And the light that we stand on is La ilaha illallah. There's nothing worthy of worship but Allah. See, everything we do, we are directing the people back to the Creator. We're not looking for no handout. We're not looking for no praise. We're not looking for no honor. You know, we're looking, well, Allah say. You know, we say, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Huh? There's no might. There's no strength. Huh? No power except in Allah. So no glory. All glory goes to God. So if we're going to be the correct light for the people, then we must give the people the right directions. We must motivate the people spiritually. And our leader also said, the book I'm reading, he said, we have became so materialism. It's materialized instead of being spiritualized. See, that material thing, and what hangs up with a lot of Muslims is this. A lot of people leave, period. Listen to what they say. This is how they talk. And the first thing they say, oh, I believe in Allah with all my heart and soul. I'm getting to my next point now. They always put that strong emphasis on how much they believe in God or Allah. And what our leaders say, you have so much emphasis on how much you love God, how much you want to represent God properly, like those messengers do. And he said this, you can't even make a decision. So how can you lead someone when you are scared to make a decision? Let's get back to the one, I believe in God. I strongly believe in him. Well, let's go to this point then. Allah says, or God says, but I'm going to use Allah. Allah say, what is meant for you, now this is a law talk, you can argue with it if you want to. He said, what is meant for you will not pass you by. He said, but what passes you by is not meant for you. So if you're making dua to Allah and you strongly believe in him, number one, make decisions. Imam Muhammad told us, he said, when you're at a meeting, a board meeting, a meeting for the community, and y'all sitting down trying to get certain ideas together to move the community forward, he said you should have these 3 to 4 things on the table. The one that y'all choose to work with or to put out front at that time, he said you don't throw the other 3 away. You set them over in the corner and leave them right there. He said because if the one that y'all choose doesn't work, he said down the line a month go by, he said you stop it. He said, and he tells her, leave that alone. That's not working for us. Then you go back and pull one of the other ones, pull the second one in. Say, let's use this one here. And the moment that you have that trust in God like you're supposed to, and you pull that second one in, that's when you become successful. But you only became successful because you're mature enough to make a decision. What is life? What is life meant to you? What does it mean to your children, your wife, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? What does it mean to them if you can't make a decision? You're supposed to be the link that pull them towards the hereafter when you go into the hereafter and lead them here for them to also come behind you, but you have made certain decisions to get to that point and to bring them forward as you move. Now, since they go to these institutions and they get this kind of knowledge, technology, whatever, computer, whatever, then they ought to come back and help you and I keep up in the world, move us forward along with the world, but move us forward in righteousness. I pray to Allah that what I'm saying makes sense. There's nothing wrong with being a good speaker. There's nothing wrong with speaking. There's nothing wrong with want to be a voice to advocate God's word. There's nothing wrong with that. That is great, but it's no good if you can't connect it. And that's the problem Imam Muhammad said in the book, why we are lost, the Masna and those who go to the Masna. This is why we are lost, and the world has moved so far ahead of us. We are lost just like the rest of the people, because those who have technology supposed to come to the imams and the board and say, this is what we're supposed to do. And I can move this technology to a point, and if we follow this accurately, we will be successful. This is what they're for, to keep us motivated enough spiritually to move into the world, as I say, and move the people that really wants to connect themselves with God, move them right along with us. You don't leave it behind. And here's a good point. Imam Muhammad told us, the imam, he said, brother, imam is a study. And, you know, you get in the habit of study, you got to take a break sometime. He said, study 4, 5, 6 months. He said, he didn't stop. He ain't stopped. And go back, all the way back from the beginning of your study, and give it to your wife. Give it to your children, your grandchildren, cousins, others. So otherwise, Allah had inspired you and showed you certain things in scripture, and you learned to connect them. Now you stop that research and go back and grab your wife and family and move them forward. That's what the knowledge is for. It's not to lead them out. It's to move them forward. Then once you get them to that point, Imam Muhammad said, then you go back to your research and your study. But now you haven't left anybody behind. So isn't this the same thing that we take our brothers and sisters that got this technology into the masjid and they bring certain programs to you and show you how to move in the world with the technology and be successful? That's not leaving us behind. They're working along with us to move us forward in the world. So my brother asked a question, and I prayed to a lot. I didn't get off track. He said to bring something to the minds of the people on this Block Talk Radio to help us. Number one, you got to go back to scripture. All the things that we foresee that's going on now in the world, it's already been prophesied. Your book speaks about it. Now you hear people say, oh, did you see that happen? Oh, Lord. See, if they study scripture, they would have that attitude about what's going on in the world now. They'd be concerned, but their concern would be like, oh, Lord, what's going on? No, it would be, well, you know, Sam or John, you know, that's in scripture. I was reading the other day in the scripture, so-and-so, and it was saying by there will come a time when nation will go against nation, kings against kings, rulers against rulers, and there'll be phantoms and earthquakes. See, all this is taking place in scripture. But see, don't you worry about that. And reason I said don't you worry about it, like I say, if you believe in your Lord like you're supposed to, your Lord, as I need to say, he will put in your nature. He will put in your very spirit. Not to be scared to make decisions. How did Prophet Muhammad did it? On the battlefield. In the book of Reina Ali, he brought this out. On the battlefield, when Muslims are having battles, wars, they said that the Prophet, he would find a place for a few minutes. He would find a corner somewhere. On the battlefield, behind some shields, or something, and they said he would be back there making dua to Allah. Now, he had to make a decision on the battlefield to go and call on his Lord. He had to trust in his Lord to answer his dua. Meaning, if Allah put in your spirit, and this is how Allah moves you to make right decisions. You make dua to your Lord, and you keep moving forward. See, when you try to do something and you're pondered over for 2 or 3 days, a week, 2 weeks, 3, 4 weeks, go back, it weakens the idea that you are trying to accomplish. That means that you haven't really took the issue that you're trying to deal with seriously. That's why you can't make a decision. I have to hop on this decision because we have been through some things in the last 2 or 3 months. And what happened? We're still at the same spot that we were in 3 or 4 months ago. Why? Because we can't make decisions. And I'm grateful to Allah to give me that book from my leader, explaining certain things about the world, how the world is moving, and we're way back here. It's like the world is moving in 2022, and we're still in 1940. The world had continued to move on in the technology field. Whatever field is in, it had moved. And let me show you something. Do you think that the world had moved in this technology field or in the technology world? Do you think they had moved like that and God didn't inspire that? Whatever they accomplish in technology, in the world, schools are false. God is the one to inspire them. So you mean tell me we know that we're following scripture to the best of our ability for what God has written, and we're trying to live it. And you mean tell me God ain't going to inspire you? And he inspired people that don't even believe in him. That shows you how merciful he is. And the great sign of that, the sun shines on everybody. It shines on the wicked as well as the righteous. So how can we not, knowing that we follow God's scripture to the best of our ability, and we're trying to move community forward, we're trying to move the mind, we're trying to move each individual world forward where we can be successful. I don't want to take too much more time, brothers and sisters. I thank Allah for blessing me to come forward and be able to have a few words with you. But this shows you how serious things are getting. Things are getting out of hand for that world. It's not getting out of hand for us because we got the Lord of all the worlds. And Allah is not the Lord of all the worlds in the sense we said. When we say he's the Lord of all the worlds, he's the Lord of all the worlds of the righteous. If the worlds of the wicked comply and come into the world of righteous, then he's the Lord of them. This is why our leader explained it to us. So I want to come to you in peace always. I want to lead you in peace and allow some time for others to come. And I pray to Allah that I have said something to make you gravitate towards your Lord. Our mission is only really to inspire you to come to your Lord. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, as-salam. Thank you, Brother Ma'am Ibrahim. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless you. We're on our 11 years anniversary of the Lifeline, and I don't know when the anniversary of this Blog Talk radio station is going to take place, but we're in our 11 years of Lifeline, and they are
on
right now, 11 years of Lifeline. So all praise is due to Allah, and they have today. So let me get ready to bring another 1 hour co-host workers up. Brother Suja Muhammad, you know, as-salamu alaykum. You got it, Brother Suja. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.
Well, like as-salam.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
I'd like to testify and bear witness that there is only one creator, there's only one God. We call God Allah in Arabic. And the Quran said God got many beautiful names. So there's only one God. And we bear witness and testify that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon our Prophet Muhammad, that he is the seal of the Prophet He's the messenger of Allah. He's God's servant. Also, Christ Jesus, Abraham, Moses, Lot, all those great men is God's servant. We like to give all the believers the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
I'd
like to read from the Quran, starting at Surah 27, Ayat 59. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. I see refuge in Allah against the rejected Satan. With Allah's name, most gracious, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Say, praise be to Allah, and peace on his servants, whom he has chosen for his message. Who is better, Allah or the false God they associate with him? Or who has created the heavens and the earth? And who sent you down rain from the sky? Yea, with it we cause to grow well-planted orchards full of beauty and delight. It is not in your power to cause the growth of the trees in them. Can there be another God besides Allah? Nay, they are people who swerve from justice. Or who has made the earth firm to live in, made rivers in its midst, set their own mountain immovable, and made a separating bar between the two bodies of flowing water? Can there be another God besides Allah? Nay, most of them know not. Or who listen to the soul distressed when it calls on him? And who relieves its suffering and make you mankind inheritors of the earth? Can there be another God besides Allah? Little it is that ye or who guides you through the depth of darkness on land and sea? And who send the wind as heralds of glad tidings going before his mercy? Can there be another God besides Allah? High is Allah above what they associate with him. Or who originates creation, then repeats it? And who gives you sustenance from heaven and earth? Can there be another God besides Allah? Say, bring forth your argument if you are telling the truth. Say, none in the heavens or on earth except Allah know what is hidden. Allah is making this plain. That's a good point right here. I can't tell you the future. I can't tell you because you did this. You're not going to get this. Or you did that and you're going to be blessed forever. You're going to stop progressing. Your family going to progress. Allah said only he know what is hidden. And Allah said that all of us is going to be tested and tried. I don't know your test. I'll be lying to you. I can tell you that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. If somebody don't do this, then I'm going to do that. The next time we get together, I'm going to do this. And when we get together, I don't do that. And you know, Allah can put the best construction on it. Put the best construction on it. Maybe I didn't want to do it right then, you know. Maybe that's the wrong time. That's the wrong time. Maybe I got some hope. I got some hope. Allah said, be most merciful and be patient. Allah said, none in heaven. All in the heavens now. He said, none in the heavens are on earth except Allah knows what is hidden. Allah said, how can they perceive when they should be raised up in judgment? They asked Jesus that in the Bible. When is the judgment? Jesus said, I don't know the day now. Prophet Muhammad said, I'm only a man just like you. If I knew what was hidden, I'll be getting some of that and storing that up for myself. Allah says, still less can their knowledge comprehend. Yeah. Nay, they are in doubt and uncertainty. There. Nay, they are blind thereunto. Just tell me about the person that claims that they have the insight. We study this Quran. We study the history of Prophet Muhammad. We trying to apply this knowledge, and we dealing with all kind of problems. Praise be to Allah. Allah said, I'll go with them with what Allah gives you. In other words, say what he said. Allah said, the unbelievers say, what? When we become dust, we and our father, should we really be raised from the dead? It is true, we was promised this. We and our fathers before us. These are nothing but tales of the ancients. Say, go ye through the earth and see what has been the end of those guilty of sin. But grieve not over them, nor distress thyself because of their plot. They also say, when will this promise come to pass? Say if ye are truthful. Say it may be that some of the events which ye was wishing to hasten on may be closed in your pursuit. But verily thy Lord is full of grace to mankind, yet most of them are ungrateful. Verily the Lord knoweth all that the heart do hide, as well as all that they reveal. Allah knows. nor is there all of the unseen in heaven or earth, but is recorded in a true record. Verily this command doeth explain to the children of Israel most of the matter in which they disagree. And it certainly is a guide and a mercy to those who believe. Verily thy law will decide between them by his decree. And he is exalted in might, all knowing. So what should we do? Allah said, so put thy trust in Allah. For thou art on the path of manifest truth. Truly thou canst not cause the dead to listen. Nor can thou cause the deaf to hear the call, especially when they turn back and retreat. I don't care how hard I try. I can't cause the dead. That's not my job. I'm just a warner. I like the Prophet Muhammad. He said that I'm just a warner. I know one thing. Proving my sincerity is not that I jump in some kind of clique. I know better than that. That's not going to prove whether or not I'm sincere. I know I'm not going to come together and get all my money and just gear to cross one little group. I ain't that big a fool. Allah ain't raising that kind of fool up with the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad here. I know that just like we heard having one group, we should be striving to help every individual. Every individual to establish themselves. I'm not going to just establish one little person. You're not sincere. You're not being real. You don't want to help nobody. I want to help everybody. I want to help you. I want to see you be successful, just like the one that you're trying to get me to help and give all my money to. I know better than that. Allahu Akbar. It's like the imam told his mother, when his mother came and told him, you know, to just take it easy. And when the imam was taking positions against the false god and the false concept, and imam told his mother, if I his father, excuse me, if I will choose somebody as a god, I'll choose you. I think. Even Wali Muhammad taught me how to think. I think before I make a decision. I'm not going to jump out there on something that is going to cause an explosion and going to destroy everything. I know a suicide bomber when I see it. Allah said one day, We shall gather together from every people the truth of those who reject our sign, and they shall be kept in rank until when they come before the judgment seat. Allah will say, did ye reject my sign, though ye comprehended them not in knowledge? Or what was it you did? And the word would be fulfilled against them. And the word would be fulfilled against them because of their wrongdoing. And they would be unable to speak and plead. See they not that we have made the night for them to rest in and the day to give them light? Verily, this is a sign for any people that believe. And the day that the trumpet would be sounded, then would be submission with terror to those who are in the heaven and those who are on earth, except such as Allah will please to them. And all shall come to his presence as men conscious of their lowliness. Thou seest the mountain and thinkest them fixed firmly, but they shall pass away as the cloud passed away. Such is the artistry of Allah, who disposes of all things and put it all. For he is well acquainted with all that ye do. If any do good, good will accrue to them therefrom, and they will be secure from terror that day. If any do evil, their faces will be thrown headlong into the fire. Do you receive a reward other than that which ye have earned by your deeds? For me, I have been commanded to serve the Lord of this city, him who has sanctified it, and to whom belongs all things. And I am not commanded to be of those who bow in Islam to Allah's will, and to rehearse the Quran. And if any accept guidance, they do it for the good of their own souls. And if any strays, say, I am only one. And say, praise be to Allah, who will soon show you his signs, so that ye shall know them. And thy Lord is not unmindful of all that ye do. Sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
Allahu Akbar. I just read from the book.
It's 8:30. We got to switch over to talk about the land.
Okay.
And
yes, sir. I'm yes, going to close up. I said, I'm going to make them. I came in peace. I'm going to return in peace. I said, I'm going to.
Well, Lake Asalam. Now we thank everyone for those Tyleen. May Allah continue to bless them. So now we want to talk about the land that we need to be over, and how we can purchase land and different. And what we can do about the land that we need to control, so we can have some power and have something left to
hold.
So we're here to talk about land now. It's 8:30. So anybody who wants to start off first, just raise your hand on talking about land. We got 30 minutes.
Right. Alive.
Go ahead.
Nobody's not going to raise their hand. What I would like to say is that if I think that we all should be looking and looking for land and get a price on it. Negotiate with the person and tell them that you represent a group,
and bring the information. And then let's talk about it. And let's talk about maybe we can do something with that. We can establish something with that. But I think all of us should be where we at, right where we at.
Alhamdulillah, sounds good. We got a brother who's in real estate or been in real estate, that took the real estate license. Brother Hameen, the one that is on the show. Brother Hameen, you want to say anything toward that? Brother Hameen? As-salamu alaykum, Brother Hameen. You want to say anything? Well, Brother Hameen.
He probably coming in. He's just, you know, he be selling.
Oh, yeah, he's selling.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah. He be working. He be working.
Okay, I know. I've seen him on. He didn't raise his hand, so I guess he's not ready to say anything. Okay.
He's not ready, probably.
Yeah. Okay, Brother. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Muhammad, Kalama, Georgia. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay. Is he on too?
Yeah.
Boy, anytime we start start easing around and being quiet, believe me,
it's
So go ahead on and talk. We just keep rolling, brother, and you catch up.
There's two phones are open in the same room, too close together.
Well, I got Brother Amin cut on. Let me see. I cut him on, but okay, this ought to do it. This ought to hit. He ought to be all right this time.
All right. I was trying to fix it where I could play my theme song.
Okay.
But I couldn't operate it. I couldn't get it going.
Get it going. You have three slots. Yeah, you have three slots up there on the board. Yeah, I seen that. Okay, but
I was trying to play my theme song, a song by James Brown. James Brown says, "I don't want nobody to give me nothing." He said, "Just open up the door, I get it myself." Old James Brown, bro. I was trying to get it going, but I couldn't manipulate it. But inshallah,
just leave it alone.
Yeah. I was out today with the real estate man. Rashad told me, he said, "Brother, come out and measure this building," which you know, I got a building, I got a job. You know, they want this building, they missed the foundation. They built the structure, but they missed one of the foundations. So I got to draw up this place. And he said, "I give you $100, you go with me." So I said, "Okay, I'll go." So we spent a couple hours out there measuring up this place for Rashad. See, Rashad is a master architect. You know, he may not have the education, but you know, he's an artist. and he could draw real good. Yeah. He's an artist, you know, he could draw. And
right.
He got that eye. He got that eye, the architectural eye. And he's good. Oh, he's good. He's good. And all these contractors and stuff be asking him to do stuff because they say, these other people, man, they don't, you know, they don't do it right. Rashad, why don't you come help me, you know? And Rashad just dealing with his situation, you know. So anyway, I was able to go out with him, and I enjoyed that because I had learned a lot by this class that I got at Centennial High School. It's called Building and Construction. So about 5 months, I was teaching these children how to build houses, but I didn't know how to build no house. So I looked at a whole lot of YouTube. You know, you could look at YouTube and put a transmission in a car. You could look at YouTube and do a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So I was looking at me and these children were looking at a whole lot of YouTubes about how you lay the foundation and the footing, and you dig out your amount there, and you put rebar in there, and you know what I mean.
Almost
you put
anything.
The bolts in there, all that. You
yeah.
know? And then after you do that, you lay that concrete in there, let it get hard, and you got your anchor bolts and your pull-down bolts coming out, and then you start framing, and you frame that booger on down, and about three or four of you brothers get together and get that frame and stand that frame up and then put that frame down on them anchor bolts there and tighten them anchor bolts down there, and then you got a frame. You got an outside frame or inside frame, and then you could start, you know, start your whole thing, you know, put the drywall in there, put the electrical. I learned all this looking at YouTube, along with the little Hispanic children, mainly Hispanic children, African-American and Hispanic children. I learned. And as I was doing it, I was telling Rashad, I'd ask Rashad different questions about this and about that. And so now I'm about, other than actually hands-on, I'm about, I would say, 70-80% knowledgeable on how to put together a house. I mean, I need a little detail, and I need a little, you know what I mean, you know. But, I could build a house. I mean, if I had to help, I mean, I know, you know, watching YouTube. Just watching YouTube, you know, and alhamdulillah, and other things too. So, yeah, so I went out with Brother Rashad, and you know, it takes the mystery out of stuff. This is Rashad calling me now, but, you know, things ain't mysterious. You know, you learn, you know, to take out the time, and you learn.
Yeah.
And see, that's another thing that Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School going to do. Soon as I get the okay to sell the Imam stuff, I'm about 2 or 3 weeks away from selling the Imam's tapes and books and stuff. And that will give me legitimacy, you know what I mean? If the Negro, whoever it was, calling me agent and all that. Oh, man, you know, this is me. This is me out here in California. You know what I mean? This is me out here. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier, man. What are you talking about? Where are you from? What planet are you from, brother? You know what I mean? So anyway,
you're going to be tested and tried.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, you're going to be able to say you believe.
You know, alhamdulillah. So,
yeah,
so
you're going to be tested.
Another one of the things that we are going to do with Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School, you know what I mean? And tell them children, you know, come with us on a weekend school, and we're going to introduce you to how to build a house slowly because, you know, y'all, I was listening to a brother this morning, and they was talking about how a lot of the girls be choosing husbands and stuff, and, you know, how we need to put more structure into these children, more serious stuff in these children. And this uncle or daddy or something was asking this little girl, well, what do you see in him? Oh, he's cute and he could dance. He's cute and he could dance. And so this is the type of boy these girls is getting with, you know, and then getting pregnant and he's cute and he can dance, you know. And this is the type of stuff that we gotta get our children out of. You know what I mean? We need to, you know, teach them more about family and what it is to be a man and what it is to take care of a family and the obligation, you know what I mean, to you know, take care of your family and not just he's cute and he can dance, you know, and alhamdulillah. So we got our work cut out for us, brothers, and, you know, the probate court. I think about the probate court because – I was able to really do well in the probate. I learned the probate court from a brother investor. And, you know, they got probate courts all over the United States. It's where people pass along and then leave their property. And people could come along and buy their property. And this one I ain't going to call him a brother because he did me kind of bad, but this one colleague I know called himself a Muslim, you know, was going down to the probate court, and he had money, and he used to put his money down on these probate properties, and he had a formula. He didn't never want to buy property in the hood because he didn't want to be a bad guy and have to evict a mother out of her place with 3 or 4 kids. You know, so he used to, his formula was, which I think it might be a good formula, was never to buy any property east of Crenshaw. Crenshaw is kind of dividing, I would say western out here in California is kind of like the dividing line between low income and higher income people. Maybe Vermont, I don't know. But he never, he told me his formula was he didn't want to buy anything east of Crenshaw. And actually, he bought a lot of stuff out there near the beach, out in Venice Beach. And he says, because it's white folks, and white folks got money, he said. They got money. White folks got money. You ain't got to worry about your money. And they, you know, they want this beach property. They want to be close to the beach so they could get up in the morning and run on the sand and get in the water and play racquetball and all like that and do exercise and go on to work, you know. So this was his formula, and I gotta say, you know, he's not a good human being, but he's a pretty good businessman. Though he for some reason, Allah blessed him just to make some good decisions. He told me very many years ago. He said, "Well, I do 2 or 3 of these a year, and I'm doing this for my children," and that made me like him and kind of trust him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But on the other hand, you know, I used to hear stuff about, you know, he's bad about money sometimes, though he don't want to pay and stuff, you know. And so that used to go in one ear out the other. I said, oh, he's a good, pretty good brother. He wants to do this for his children. He had about 5 children or so, and his children was up, and but you know, and he said, I do about 2 or 3 of these a year. So he used to go down to the probate court. The reason I know, because I used to go down to the probate court with him. See, the judge used to give me 2.5%. So me and his very first deal, and see, I'm talking real estate now. See, I'm talking just real estate knowledge. His very first deal was he took me out to Abbot Kinney as a nice area near the beach, out of Venice Beach. And I never even saw Abbot Kinney. I never saw the property. He just knew I was a broker, and he just knew that the judge would give me 2.5%. So his... me and his very first deal, and I never even saw the property before we went to the court that morning. And he dropped $1 million down on this property out in Abbot Kinney. And so the judge gave me 2.5%, so they gave me $25,000. $25,000, just the fact that I had a broker license, and a brother had found out, you know, that this brother was looking for a broker in the community. So, you know, they said, you're a broker. I said, yeah. He said, well, are you a broker? I said, yeah, I'm a broker. And, you know, and it's not that I got my broker license by sitting in the real estate office and learning. At the time, if you had a college degree, you just could take the test. And they give you a broker's license. So I didn't know nothing. In fact, the brothers, I was telling Rashad today, the 2 or 3 brothers in the community who had been out in doing investments, dealing with HUD and buying property out on the high desert and fixing them up. And, you know, a brother named Ray Dubaka Lee and Sedalia Brown and all them, they took me under their wing because they didn't know a damn thing about real estate. All I had was a degree. In fact, I had a degree in Afro-American studies, and it wasn't even a degree in math or science or nothing. It was a degree in Afro-American studies. And the state of California gave me a license if I passed the test. So I went to Premier Real Estate School and got a home study course, and I studied, and I flunked the test three times before the fourth time I took the test, and they say, hey, man, you just passed the broker exam. So here I am, a broker. I didn't know nothing about real estate. These brothers took me under their arms today, and Ray Dubaka Lee and the brothers and everything, and I had to learn from them brothers what it was to even try to cut. I didn't know nothing. Please believe it. I didn't know nothing. And alhamdulillah, I ran into problems, and that showed I didn't know nothing because when that thing crashed about 2006, 7, and 8, I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? The economy crashed, and people was losing their houses and everything, and I went crazy. My wife went crazy. My kids were going crazy. I didn't know what the hell to do, man. All America, boy, these Jews had wrecked this economy, had wrecked this whole thing, you know. So all praise be to Allah. So anyway, where got salam?
Go ahead, bro. There in California is the real estate coded by zip code?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Zip code, okay. Different zip codes. Yeah, 90221.
There you go.
90210. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My
wife want to ask a question.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I mean, she want to say something. Why don't you mess around?
Alhamdulillah, Bismillah Nir Rahman Nir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalam.
Yeah, what I want to say is that what we have to remember is that when any time you first start coming, you know, exploring on land, going to a new part of a land, I'll use an example like here in Baton Rouge. The first part that what you do is you get to the best part of the land, the best part, right? And that's what happened in Los Angeles, and I know because I lived there and also here in Baton Rouge. But what happened was that now the trick is this here, why do you think that people are trying to come into the African-American neighborhood and buy up their property? And the reason, and we got to remember the reason why is that because what happened was that the Caucasian, they made a mistake. The mistake was they were so prejudiced until they moved out from the best part of the land. And I remember when they moved out there to them desert areas and all that, and then they had by the mountains, when they had the mountain slide on their houses and killed some of their children, you know, and then when they had these desert storms out there and the flood, and vice versa here in Louisiana and Baton Rouge too. But right here in Baton Rouge, it didn't flood like that. All that stuff that you've been hearing about that is be out there in that area where those Caucasians at because they moved there. But now what they're trying to do is, that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to move us out of our community so they could buy up the community and move us out there. So that's the only thing. But now when I was, even when I'd be out there in the area where I live in, I said to myself, I hope we don't lose our community because this is the best part of the community. What our people know is all you have to do is build it up. And just build it up. Get two lots and you could build those big houses and everything the same, just as that. That's what I want to say right there. So the trick is that's what they're trying to do, move you out of there. So you can get to the best part of the land. The land that all the African Americans on is the best part of the land right now. That's what it is, alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. That's right. Well, it's a lot of gentrification. You know, there's a sister here in L.A., a sister named Amira.
and she had a little thrift store, and a delegation of white folks, came to her store and told her, "Welcome to the community." These white folks are coming in.
No, Egba.
Told her, "Welcome to the community." And Amira said she almost fell out of her chair. Yeah, they coming. But they had been coming for the last few years because people used to say, man, if you go to the market, man, around 11 o'clock at night, man, you see a whole lot of white. This is years ago, 5-10 years ago. They say all kind of white folks be in the market, you know, at 11, 12 o'clock at night, you know. And, yeah, they coming back. They got the money. But you know something? It's our fault, though. You know, we have to admit it. Because we, you know, we get Elijah Muhammad told us to pool our pennies and our nickels. And the imam told us to collective buy. We need to get together and trust each other and buy up some real estate. You know, it's our fault. It's our fault. We could do better. We could do better. We have to. We have
to. Got to.
You know, I was just thinking, you know, we need restaurants so bad. It seems like, you know, we ought to get together on a restaurant, on some restaurants. Every city should have one or two restaurants where people can sit out once a week and take their kids and eat some halal chicken and fried. You know, I want some halal fried chicken. I don't know where to get no halal fried chicken at it. Anywhere out here, I want some fried chicken. I want greasy fried chicken, you know, with some cornbread, green, you know what I mean? And we ain't got no place out here. What's something wrong with us? And the imams don't talk about it over the rostrum. They never say, okay, I want all y'all to go to, Shuja's restaurant. I want everybody to go. You know, that's all you got to say. If you're the imam, if you're the leader, you know, say, I want y'all to support him. Support him. You know, forget McDonald's for about 3 weeks. You know, that's all they got to do. But I swear I never heard them talk that way out here in Los Angeles.
It's not like they don't talk that way in the other states, not the imams. They don't talk that way.
No, they don't.
Only thing they try to do is get you to support them. And they are not thinking about the individual.
That's a concern of mine.
That's a real concern of mine.
That's a real concern. That's true.
Yeah, that's a real concern of me. I think you're supposed to be trying to get wealth too. I don't think I just supposed to be getting wealth to somebody else, talking about what they doing, you know, and I forget about myself.
But them jokers was eating at the Whopper House, the Hubble House, and everywhere else. We come to your rest. I've seen that.
So we're trying to figure out a way that a brother or sister can open up a restaurant, and if they want to open up one, you know, what could I do to help you, you know, financially or whatever, to help you open up that restaurant? You know, and when they open it up, you know, maybe I can invest in it. You know, I can invest in it, or somebody else can invest in it. They can put an item in it. They can put one of their products in it. You know, and just get that person wealthy. You know, and we got another type of business to open up. Somebody in the community can open it up. Let's support them. Let's don't stop supporting the group that's already here, because they're doing a good thing as far as keeping the flag held up, you know, recognizing the people. I'm not saying that we stop supporting this group. I'm not saying that. I want y'all to get that clear for me. I'm saying that it's incorrect that we just support that group only. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we should also support the individuals. Support the individuals and help them get into business.
Did that sister Tawana, did she open a restaurant? The sister who we hear on Lifeline? Did she open a restaurant?
She hasn't opened it up yet, but she says she wanted one there in Decatur. You know, she says he wanted. Mm-hmm. She says she can cook and all that. You know, so that's a good example, brother. I mean, we should get behind. You should get with us. What do you need? You know, how much money could I give? You know, every month or whatever. You know, where we can get this thing started. You know.
As-salamu alaykum.
And
the first thing you do when you go to someone, you know, about you want to help them, always ask them for a business plan. Always ask them for a plan, their business plan, because you know the saying, if you don't plan, you plan to fail. Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Well, it just seemed like even on Lifeline, somebody should say, "Well, I have a restaurant here in Cleveland. I'm in Cleveland, and so I have a restaurant, and I sell you know, fish burgers and fries." And, whatever, you know.
That's right.
And I want y'all to support me. If you're in town or tell some people, you may have a relative or so, call your relative and say, well, you know, Sister Janine have a restaurant right there in Cleveland and so and so and so and so. See, that would really be helping people, you know, if we could talk about it, you know. You know,
I agree with that, but I mean, and when we help a person to get wealthy, that person turned into a billionaire, a millionaire, and then you got another person, and then another person. That's how your power develops, especially
right.
If that person become a billionaire and they don't turn their back on you.
Right, right.
You know, they give back into the what brought them up. They start giving back into them and helping other people come up. But we got to get it started somewhere. Sometime we got to get it started, you know.
Right.
If not a restaurant, a gas station, a service station.
Well, that's right. It seems like somebody every day should have some type of business that they got going that they could just tell the people on Lifeline and then on other shows too. I mean, that's why we can't be bickering about going to this show, that go show. I try to, you know, we just wherever Muslims is in our community,
whatever show we're
on. Yeah, you know, whatever show, you know, say hey, so and so got a gas station, you know what I mean? Some Canal Street in Dallas. So if you're in Dallas, buy your gas from brother, whoever, you know what I mean, and tell people that he got a business to support his business.
Yeah,
like we got some sense. Yeah.
But I mean, this is another way. Adding to what you're saying, I ain't taking nothing away from what you said. If a person got a business, let's say he got a gas station, and the best way, one of the best ways, is that if you got a product. And you tell them, look, I got a product that I want to sell. Could I sell it in your service station, in your restaurant? And they say yes. They say yes, but I mean, you can sell that product, and it'll be like that in all the business that we open up. You know, some people can't open up a business themselves, right? But
right.
They can put a product in a business. And if they sell 1,000 of those products a week, you see, they gonna make some money. That's some money. And we got to think like that. We got to think we got to think on the outside of the box.
Right.
Know? So we can start becoming successful.
I heard you, ma'am, say we gotta think our way out of this poverty. Think our way out. We can think our way out. Man, we got everything we need. You know, none of us be drinking and smoking and stuff and gambling. Not, you know, hardly none of us. I mean, you know, maybe here and there somebody may hide it.
But you know, we there. We a lot of blessed us to come out of a whole lot of madness. So all we need to do is go to second step. You know?
Yes, sir.
Go to the second step.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. So you know, if I could say something, okay, like Monday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, you know, like you know about business and real estate and stuff, I'd love to do it for about a half hour. So, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, you know,
gotta be pushed
during the second half. I appreciate it. Love you.
Lord,
that would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need.
Alhamdulillah.
That'll help.
Alhamdulillah. And one thing we have to remember, Imam Wardi Muhammad stated that for you to be successful, you have to be for all the people. Alhamdulillah.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely right. Alhamdulillah. Yes, that we're going to grow. We're going to grow. We just got to get started.
Yeah. That's
right. Got to get started. We're going to do it right. We just got to get started.
The knowledge. Good God. I mean, golly, we got about 100 years of teaching. From 1930.
And we don't want to make a move.
1930. Yeah, bro.
And see what's going to happen. People are going to start making wrong moves. That's what Shaitan does. He started making wrong moves. And people start getting hooked up with that and be a failure. And then they start blaming each other again. You know.
Mm-hmm.
No, man. No. We got to know how to think. And make some moves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, Alhamdulillah. I'm definitely. I'm definitely going to feed on that. I'm not asking everybody to stand up. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to tell you right now. And it's not because I'm so tough or nothing like that. It's that because people is making the right move now and they're trying to do something and we want them to get support in it and make sure the right move is being made, you know. And what I mean by the right move is that everybody gonna grow. That's what I mean by the right move. Everybody gonna grow, you know. So I can't be afraid. I can't be afraid to stand up and tell the truth. You know that look. I can't just. We all got to grow. Let's think about it and do something that's gonna cause the growth of all of us. Inshallah. Hey, y'all want to...